Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures this morning to the last chapter of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. Hear God's Word. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, and of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee, and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the hearts and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads, and worshiped the Lord and the King. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. On the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings, and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon, the son of David, king, the second time, and anointed him before the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the princes and the mighty men, and all the sons likewise of King David, submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries. There ends our reading of God's holy word. May he bless our reading of the scriptures this morning. I've read this passage as the basis for the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in the last two questions and answers of the Catechism. Questions and answers 128 and 129. The last two questions and answers of Lord's Day 52. Let's read those two questions and answers together now. How dost thou conclude thy prayer? For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. That is, all these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, that hereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. What doth the word Amen signify? Amen signifies it shall truly and certainly be. For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. This morning, we come to the very end of the Heidelberg Catechism, and to the very end of the Heidelberg Catechism's instruction in prayer. At the end of this instruction in prayer, we do well to ask ourselves the question, do we pray? Does all this instruction profit us in this respect, that we are motivated to pray? Or is it the case that in spite of all this good instruction on prayer, we do not pray? We do not take this instruction to heart. We are not motivated to pray. Then what good does all this instruction do us if we do not pray? Then we are like the fool in Jesus' parable who hears and hears and hears, but does not do the Word of God. Do you pray? Do I pray? Does prayer have the important and necessary place that it ought to have in our lives? Do we pray personally in our closets, privately to God? Do we pray as husbands and wives? Does the unity of our marriage come to expression in this, that we pray together? Do we pray as families? Is this an important part of our daily worship of God, that at our family altar, we lift up our prayers to God? And do we pray sincerely? Not just mouthing the words, but praying to God from the heart. Are our prayers more than mere formality? Are our prayers more than merely a closing of our eyes and a folding of our hands and uttering some words? Are our prayers a real calling upon God from the heart? Do we cry out to Him? And when we pray, are we consciously in His presence? And is there growth in our prayer life? The only question is not, are you praying? But there is also this important question: is there development in your prayer life? Growth. Real growth. And has the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in the Lord's Prayer been of use to you in your development in prayer? Do we parents pray over our children, for our children? This is a most important aspect of our calling as Christian parents. The baptism form leads the way in that respect. There are two prayers in that short form that we read together this morning, a prayer after the catechism has given the instruction in the meaning of baptism, and then after the administration of the sacrament, that prayer of thanksgiving that focuses on the children who have been baptized and all the children of the church. We pray over them that God will be pleased to use the sacrament as a means of grace in their lives, and that their parents will take seriously the vows that they have assumed over their children. Parents who presented your children for baptism this morning, pray and pray earnestly for your children. This morning, we consider together the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. That conclusion includes two things. That conclusion includes, first of all, a doxology. The closing doxology of the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And then after the doxology, the concluding word. A little word, but a word packed with significance. The word, Amen. These words are more than just the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, as the Catechism indicates. These words are, first of all, praise of the God to whom we are praying. We cannot end our prayer without offering up praise to the God to whom we pray. That's what that concluding doxology is. A doxology is a word of praise and thanksgiving. And then at the same time, that Amen expresses the assurance that our prayers offered up to this God, whose is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, are heard. He hears and He answers our prayers. This morning, I call your attention to the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer under the theme, the assurance that our prayers will be heard. Let's notice three things together this morning. First of all, what this assurance is. Secondly, on what this assurance is based. And finally, the encouragement that is derived from it. And that encouragement is just this. Pray. If we are to pray, we must have the assurance in our hearts that God hears our prayers. We need to know that there is a God in heaven whose ears are open to our supplications. We need to know that God is pleased with the prayers of His people. We need to know that God's ears are open to our cries. He hears. He listens to us. He listens to every one of us when we pray. Of that we need to be assured. Oh, this is the great question with regard to prayer. Are our prayers heard? This is the great question in the soul of the child of God who has fallen into some sin or other, and out of the depths of that sin cries out to God for forgiveness. Is my prayer heard? This is the great question in the soul of the child of God struggling against some besetting sin, the power of sin that so dominates in his life. Is my prayer heard? My prayer for deliverance from the grip of this sin and the power of this sin in my life. This is the question in the hearts of the parents who pray earnestly to God for the recovery of a daughter or of a son who has strayed from the right way, is living wickedly and worldly. Does God hear? Does He hear our prayers? This is the question in the soul of the spouse who prays to God fervently that He will bring that spouse who has abandoned them, abandoned the marriage, abandoned the children, that God will bring them to repentance for the restoration of the marriage and of the home. Does God hear my prayer? This is the great question in the minds of the Christian family members who intercede on behalf of one of their family members critically ill, facing serious surgery, or diagnosed with some debilitating illness. Does God hear our prayers for this loved one? This is the question that wells up in the soul of the widow in the darkness of a sleepless night, when their loneliness becomes well nigh overwhelming, and they cry out to God, is my prayer heard? This is the question on the mind of the Christian young woman seeking a spouse to whom God has not yet granted a husband, or the young man who is fervent in his desire to marry in the Lord and seeks a God-fearing spouse. Does God hear my prayers? This is the question that wells up in the soul of the young Christian mother, busy with all of the demands of her calling in her home and family, and feels herself overwhelmed with her calling as a Christian mother, praying to God for the grace to persevere. Does God hear my prayer? This is the question in the soul of the child of God who struggles to bear up under the load of some affliction, the burden of some demand or other that it seems he cannot fulfill. And he prays to God for grace sufficient. Is that prayer of mine heard? This is the question that wells up in the soul of the beleaguered office bearer who devotes himself energetically and faithfully to his calling in his office, but who sees apparently only negative fruits. They make the visits to those who are wayward. They bring the Word of God, and it seems to make no different. Does God hear my prayer? This is the question that the church of Jesus Christ asks. Assaulted by her enemies, persecuted by those without, attacked by those within, the church that cries out to God for the coming of the day of Jesus Christ. Does God hear our prayer? The certainty that our prayers are heard is expressed in the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. It's expressed especially in that little word with which the prayer ends, the word Amen. What a word that is. That's an important part of the Lord's Prayer, and that's an important part of all of our prayers to God. We mustn't pray Amen without thinking about the significance of it. It isn't the case merely that Amen signals that our prayer is over, and now we can get on with whatever it was we were doing before we prayed. But Amen has an important meaning. And before you pray, Amen, before you pray, Amen, at the table this afternoon, before you pray, Amen, to your prayers before God, before you go to bed tonight, you think about the meaning of that word, Amen. That word, Amen, means, the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us, truly, or verily, or certainly, it shall be. That word Amen is found in many different places in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testaments. One place in the Old Testament is Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6. And Ezra blessed the people, blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up of hands. And in Psalm 41, verse 13, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and Amen. Amen doesn't always come at the end of a prayer, but Amen may come at the beginning, or Amen may be in the middle of a prayer. Jesus often introduced important instruction that He was about to give with the words, verily, verily. That's just Amen, Amen in the Greek. Amen, Amen. Certainly, this is true. And then Jesus goes on to give instruction in the truth. Amen, therefore, expresses certainty. Amen is the expression of assurance, full assurance. At the end of our prayers, Amen expresses several things. First, at the end of our prayers, Amen expresses that there is a God in heaven to whom we are praying. The Amen expresses that certainty. We're not just talking to ourselves. We're not just mouthing words into the air. but we are praying to the God who truly, verily exists, the God and Father of Jesus Christ, who rules in the heavens above. Secondly, the word Amen at the end of our prayer expresses our assurance that we have the right to come to this God, this high and holy God of heaven and earth. We have the right to come to Him, to lay before Him our petitions, to make our requests, to expect that He will hear and answer us. We have that right in Jesus Christ. There is, in the Lord's Prayer, no what is to us a very familiar expression in prayer, for Jesus' sake. There isn't any for Jesus' sake in the Lord's Prayer. But that doesn't mean that that's missing. That all that we are asking of God, we are asking Him for the sake of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have the right to stand before God and the right to pray to God. Really, for Jesus' sake occurs in two places in the Lord's Prayer. It occurs at the very beginning. Our Father. For God is our Father only for Jesus' sake. Right there at the beginning of our prayer, there is implied a for Jesus' sake. And then, also at the very end of our prayer, when we say, Amen, we are really saying, for Jesus' sake. We are expressing the assurance that we feel within ourselves of the right that we have to pray, which right is ours in Jesus Christ. Third, when we say Amen at the end of our prayers, we are expressing that our prayers come from our heart. From our heart. We're praying these things sincerely. We mean them with all of our heart. Everything that we've said about God, His glory, His kingdom, His will, everything that we have said with regard to our own needs, we've meant it. Every word, it's come from our hearts. David says that about his prayer to God on behalf of his son Solomon, who was going to replace him as king in Israel. Verses 17 through 19. Notice that. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and has pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments. Amen means that we're praying to God from the heart. And then finally, when we say Amen, we are expressing the assurance that God will give us everything for which we have prayed. Everything. The Amen signifies that. Everything according to His will and for our good. That's our assurance. Give us the grace to hallow His name even in trying circumstances. He'll work in us to seek His kingdom rather than the kingdom of this world, to do His will rather than our own will. He will provide us with our daily bread, what we truly need for this day. He will forgive our sins, and He will deliver us from evil, and out of temptation, He will make us holy. This is the assurance that we give expression to when we say, Amen. And now, if you cannot say this, if you cannot say, Amen, and mean it, don't pray. Don't pray. We must end. We must be able to end our prayers with a resounding Amen. But what is the basis for this assurance that God will certainly hear and answer our prayers? What's the basis for the assurance that we express in the Amen of the Lord's Prayer? That basis is expressed in the doxology. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. When we pray, for thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, we are praying for the Father's kingdom, power, and glory. The thine refers back to our Father. And the meaning is, Father's is the kingdom forever. Father's is the power forever. Father's is the glory forever. The forever applies to all three parts of the doxology. Notice the parallels to the Lord's Prayer in 1 Chronicles 29. Notice that David calls upon Israel's God as Father. It simply is not true, as some allege, that Israel in the Old Testament did not know God as Father. They did. They certainly did. David makes that plain. That's verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be Thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. And then he prays in almost the exact words of the closing doxology of the Lord's Prayer, verses 11 and 12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted, as head above all. Both riches and honor come of Thee, and Thou reignest over all. And in Thine hand is power and might, and in Thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." David prays the doxology of the Lord's Prayer. That doxology begins with the little word, "For." "For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." That indicates that what is expressed in what follows the "for" is a reason, is the basis for what precedes. The doxology of the Lord's Prayer establishes the ground upon which the entire prayer, with all of its petitions, rests. And that ground is this, that God's is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. What's included? First of all, the reason is given here why the child of God prays to God alone and not to some other supreme being, not to some idol of some false religion, not to the saints, and not to Mary. For God and God's alone is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. In the second place, the doxology gives the reason why the child of God has in his heart the assurance that God will hear and will answer him. God's is the kingdom. God's is the power. God's is the glory. That's why he can go on to say, "Amen." That's why he has the assurance that God will hear. He is able and he is willing. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. The doxology teaches us by clear implication that the basis for our assurance that God will hear and answer our prayers is not in us. Not ever in us. Not because of who we are. Not because of anything that we have done or will do. Here's the reason. Thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever. Specifically, God's is the kingdom. He's the king. He rules. The entire world is His kingdom. It's not merely the case that one day He's going to be the king. He is the king right now. He rules sovereignly over all. Besides that, not only is He the king of the universe, He's the king of the church. In a unique sense, king of the church. We must know that. We must know that in His hands the church is safe and secure. We and all God's people will surely be preserved to the very end. That's our assurance because God's is the kingdom. This God's, whose is the kingdom, is also the God of almighty power. Thine is the power. All power belongs to God. God not only has the right to rule, He does actually rule. And all power is in His hands. Even the enemies are subject to Him. Even His enemies must do His bidding to carry out His will. This is our assurance. Nothing can be against us. Absolutely nothing. Everything must be for us because God is the power. God is the power. The kingdom, the power, and the glory. Through the kingdom, by means of His power, God will be glorified. God's glory, that's the goal of it all. The goal of history. The purpose of the existence of the church. The reason for my existence and your existence. And this is what all must aim at. The glory of God. Since God wills to glorify Himself in His church by means of His redeemed elect people, we may be sure that our prayers will be heard and will be answered. Pray then, beloved. Pray earnestly. In these dark and evil days, when it seems as though the kingdom, the power, and in the end the glory are Satan's and Antichrist's, pray. Pray because they are not. Pray because God's is the kingdom, God's is the power, and God's is the glory. The believer knows this. This lives in his mind and heart. And therefore his prayers on behalf of himself, behalf of the church, behalf of his children will be heard, will be answered. Thus, we are encouraged to pray. We ought to pray. We ought to pray without ceasing. We ought to pray fervently. We ought to pray sincerely. We ought to pray because God requires us to pray. We ought to pray because prayer is the chief part of thankfulness. We ought to pray because prayer is the means by which God is pleased to give us those things that we need. And now, let us be encouraged to pray. Because of the assurance that God will hear and God will answer our prayers. We need that encouragement. The days are dark and the darkness is deepening. Dark days are ahead for the church. Very dark days. Dark days are ahead for the preaching of the truth of the gospel. Dark days are ahead for the established church and for missions. Dark days are ahead, are now for Christian marriage, home, and family. Dark days are ahead for Christian education. Dark days are ahead for our beloved children and young people. In these dark days, let us pray fervently, sincerely, with the assurance that God will hear and answer, will give us everything that we require for body and for soul. For His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we conclude our study of prayer with this petition, fervently and sincerely made. Lord, teach us to pray. And when we pray, Give us the assurance that we are heard. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.